As you can see on the screen, we're talking again about whispers of eternity, this time from 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be looking at chapter 7, just very briefly, chapter 9 and chapter 11, very briefly this morning. And when we look around our world and when we look at scripture as well, we have to ask the question, how much longer have we got here on earth? And when will Jesus return? And when we think about the whispers of eternity, we have to ask, how do these scriptures challenge and affect our attitude towards life here and now on planet Earth? The Apostle Paul says to the church in Corinth, but he could be saying to us in Great Hollands just as equally today, in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 29, he says, what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. How do we feel about this life here on earth? How do we feel about our families? How do we feel about our possessions? I'd like to ask you a question. How many of you have got a car? And how many of you own your car outright? And how many of you are leasing or renting or paying off for your car? I'm not here to talk about the advantages and the disadvantages, and I know there are advantages with both systems. But when we were children, and you can see a picture up on your screen, hopefully, of an old Austin 1100 car. When we were children, from my point of view as a child at least, we had the oldest and most rusty car in the neighbourhood. So much so that as a boy, I was kind of embarrassed by my parents' car. And sometimes I would say to my dad, why can't we have a new car like everyone else? And his reply was always the same. At least it's paid for. No one can take it away. And there's something about the permanence that comes with ownership. We kind of feel a permanence when we own something. And yet these verses in scripture that we've just read, they kind of challenge the notion of ownership. And we have to ask ourselves here on earth, is anything really ours to keep forever? And I believe that the permanence of ownership is in fact an illusion. But let me ask you another question. How many of you would consider renting a chair from John Lewis? You might think that's a ridiculous question, but I was looking online and I see this. John Lewis has partnered with one of the world's largest product rental marketplaces called Fat Llama to offer a furniture rental services. And apparently customers will be able to rent John Lewis furniture, including desks, chairs, dining tables and sofas, for three, 6 or 12 months, and then have the option to buy them at any time with payments already made deducted from the purchase price. And the longer customers commit to renting, the lower the rental price. Fat Llama will deliver the furniture within 2 working days and, if needed, help set it up. That might be an advantage. And collect products at the end of the agreement. Returned items will be cleaned and, if necessary, refurbished before being rented again. I don't know about you, but I don't like the idea of renting a chair. We like the permanence that comes with ownership. I don't want to rent a table from John Lewis. I'd rather own my own table, even if it's second or third hand. So we like the permanence that comes with ownership, but is anything really ours to keep forever? The permanence of ownership is an illusion. And Paul puts it so well. He says, "What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short." Are we aware, my friends, how short the time is? Paul says, "From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not." On this subject of happiness, so often we ask one another, "How are you? How are you feeling?" And this is a good and important question. It's important that we care for each other. And yet, to some extent, this passage is even challenging our focus on feelings. Paul says, "What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who are happy should live as if they were not." Now, of course, we must love our husband or wife, our children, our parents. But we must also understand eternity. Jesus is coming again soon. Life as we know it is passing away. And when we think about stuff, well, yes, I'll be honest, I'd still rather buy a table than rent a table. But Paul is saying to us, those who buy something do it knowing that it is not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. And sometimes you might think of the notion of the world passing away with sadness because we've grown to love the things around us. What we've got to do is to hold on to Jesus' words that he's preparing a place for us. An eternal place. A place where we will be with him forever. So we're now in part two of our message this morning. Whispers of Eternity from 1 Corinthians. Now we're in chapter 9. And I want to ask a question. How do we feel about this life here on earth? We've talked briefly just a moment ago about families and about possessions, but how do we feel about our careers? How do we feel about our educational attainment? Our hobbies, our craft, or our chosen sport? Many of these things have been put on hold or on pause because of the pandemic. Many opportunities that were out there are more limited than before. We all want to be the best. We all want to be the best that we can be personally. And often, if we're honest, we probably want to be better than others. How do the whispers of eternity challenge our attitudes towards our career, our qualifications, our hobbies, our craft, or our sport? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says to us, "Do you not know that all in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize?" Now, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Are we running for eternity, or are we running for today? The challenge coming out of this passage is, do not run aimlessly. And Paul, in a similar vein, writing to Timothy in the book that has its name, 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. At the beginning of lockdown, we saw a massive increase in people taking exercise. Somehow, when the government said you can only go out to exercise once, made us realize how valuable exercise is. And because we could only go once, we made sure we got our daily dose. And Paul is saying that physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, for both the present life and the life to come. You see the whispers of eternity in these passages we're reading now. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Here on earth, people do it to get a crown or a medal that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, Paul is encouraging us, do not run aimlessly. Yes, it's good and it's right to invest in our careers, our education, and maybe even our hobby, our craft, or our sport. And God is calling us to invest in his kingdom. Paul calls us to invest in godliness. Let's really invest in the Word of God. Let's get into the Word of God, and let's get the Word of God into us. Let's invest in prayer and worship on a one-to-one and in a small group and with the church. Let's live the Word of God. And let's do the teaching of Jesus. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So now we are in part 3 of our message this morning, Whispers of Eternity, this time from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the challenge for us all is to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, as you know, the year 2020 has been a very different year. And milestones within the year have been affected by COVID-19. There are certain milestones that help us relate to the year and to each other. Things like Mother's Day, that was just around the time of the lockdown, Father's Day later on, Easter, all affected by the COVID-19 situation. Summer holidays were very different for many people. And just last week, our Harvest Festival, also very different. And it looks as though Christmas may be affected too. And these are milestones that many people really hang on to throughout the year. But for us as believers, they are not the true milestones that really matter. For the children of God, for those of us who are hearing the whispers of eternity, for those of us who are looking back to the cross with gratitude and are looking forward to the return of Christ with expectancy, for us, communion, the breaking of bread, is a great milestone. It is a whisper of eternity, one that looked back with gratefulness and thankfulness to Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. And it looks forward with expectancy that Jesus is coming again soon. So I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. Paul says, "You know, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This festival that we are called to honour has many different names. You've heard it called the Lord's Supper. You've heard it called the Last Supper. It is the supper that reminds us of Christ's sacrifice. It is communion that reminds us that we are a community of believers with Christ as our head. It is celebrated all around the world today and has been celebrated throughout history since the time of Christ. It has been celebrated in churches, as you would expect, but also in concentration camps. It's probably been celebrated in palaces, and it has certainly been celebrated in prisons. The Lord's Supper has been celebrated during good times and also when things are really grim. It's been celebrated by thousands gathered together and by tiny groups of two or three. It has probably been celebrated on arduous journeys taken by refugees. And now it is being celebrated online, where believers are unable to meet face to face. You may have some questions about communion. What should the communion table look like? What kind of bread should we use? How long should the celebration last? What Bible readings should be used? You know, we don't get answers to all these details, and many people will do it differently, many churches. But the Apostle Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 onwards. "I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed," think about that, my friends, on the night he was betrayed, instituting the celebration of the event that was going to come before the event had even happened. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." My friends, my brothers and sisters, even though it's weird doing communion online, we are called to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This great celebration is a celebration of looking back at what Christ has done and looking forward to his return.